In this podcast series, we're not just trying to change Africa's narrative, we are changing it. Because Africa leads, Africa excels, and Africa inspires. The focus on our continent's poverty, inequality, violence, and lack of development is definitely out of sync. When you compare it to other continents who have the same, but also we hear voices and see images of growth, development of economic and emerging markets, all leading to investment and ultimate self-reliance. So help me welcome guests from Africa and all over the world invested in the rising of Africa. The time for Africa's rising is now. The world has no choice but to let us rise because, as the youngest of all people, we are the future of the world. So, from Africa to the world, this is Yavi Madure.
You have got the African Women in Agriculture Alliance. Tell us about that.
Okay. This is probably what leading from the first question of one of the reasons why I started the NGO. So it was one of my visits that I came here, probably the second one in October of 2019. And being in America and being a woman entrepreneur in business and politics, which is what DL Johnson Consulting Agency is, the political consulting and brand management firm in the US. I've been in environments where I'm the only woman in the room. And sometimes that's challenging. But in Africa, it's more challenging because of the cultural aspect of how women are treated. So I went through a couple of different situations in business here with men. So I decided, let me start something that has nothing to do with men, that men can't be a part of in a supervisory or superior. And let me do something for, which is where I came. So the African Women in Agriculture Alliance is a Black owned, Black African or Black woman owned organization to teach women about new technologies in agriculture, give them some empowerment through a magazine that we're going to be unveiling next month, and then also microfinancing and microloans to help them start their agribusiness and be successful. But the reason why the men are in the creation of this NGO is that men in Africa, I find, are more their ways with what they will and will not allow a woman to do. And I don't come from an environment that that women stand for those types of things. So in the States, if there's an issue, you speak up about it. There's plenty of advocacy groups in the US that are very powerful in government, have a voice in all these things. So I wanted the African Women in Agriculture Alliance to be that entity here in Ghana and then to spread all over the world so that women have a voice of their own. We have our own organization. It's not just women, but it's women of African descent. So a lot of these organizations are started by white women and they might have Black women or African women as their sole target demographic. But I felt like there needed to be something for and by women of African descent in Africa. And it's gotten a huge response. I think the last time I checked, we're in over 175 cities around the world. There are people that are constantly coming on the website, registering. And I'm really excited about next month unveiling our magazine and moving forward with our partnerships.
So let's talk about those partnerships, right? So you spoke about the fact that, you know, you wanted to have an organization that has women of African descent, which is extremely critical to our narrative right now from a gender and an Africa perspective. And then, you know, in terms of looking at what are the opportunities for, whether it's just women in agriculture or women of African descent in general, what are some of the opportunities that you see straddling both sides? You know, so you're on the other side from a US perspective, you're very active from a political agenda and brand management perspective, and now you're in Ghana having a look at, I mean, you're living amongst us on the continent. So, you know, what do you see as the business opportunities from a diaspora, from a partnering with Africa, partnering with the diaspora? What are some of the things that you see are the opportunities?
So I'm a very logical, analytical thinking person. So I just look at the numbers, and women and youth are the largest demographics on the continent. So from strictly a numbers perspective, that would be from a numbers and a business perspective, that would be my target demographic of how to move things forward is to deal with women and youth. And then now that I've been in Ghana for about 45 days and lived here, there's a lot of similarities with women of African descent here and African Americans or Black American women in the United States, in the sense that a lot of the businesses here are entrepreneurial, and they're 90% ran by women. The only difference between, or one of the differences between here in Ghana and in the US, women in business, is that there are small things on a basic level that people in African countries, I would say Ghana specifically, because I haven't been to any other ones as of yet, but it's the finance part, it's the organization part, it's just the basics of business, but they know how to run business. Black women know how to do things. We take care of our households, we multitask and take care of children and husbands and jobs and careers and side businesses and all and volunteerism and all of these. That's a huge similarity and a huge plus with what I would like to achieve. And from US side, because there's so many barriers for entry, and now in society, political wise and socially, there's a push to give more money to women businesses, right? There's a push to give more inclusion of women in governments, more inclusion of youth entrepreneurship, of technology, and all of these things, which it's kind of on the beginning rise in the US as well, in certain parts of the United States where there's a concentration of women of African descent or people of African descent, which is usually in the South. So Black people are on the rise all over the world, and the opportunity for business from agriculture to construction to anything that you can think of, run the gamut in industries, is possible in Africa. And I think that's why other parts of the world have become so developed, because there are great minds here, great opportunities here. The financial costs are exceptional compared to the US. You can get more things done, start more businesses. Job creation is a huge part for me in expanding my businesses here, because now I can afford to hire more people, which means I can do more work. So the opportunities on the continent have always been here, which is why we see that so many things have been taken, resources from human resources to mineral resources from the continent, because this is where it is. So I think the opportunity for more people to come here outside of tourism and to actually do business in many of these African countries is right here for the taking. And I think it just needs to be pushed out more from a business aspect and how we can partner together, instead of continuously saying, well, let's have everyone invest in Africa. It needs to be mutually beneficial, with business crossing both sides, with people from the continent wanting to do business in the US, and then US businesses want to do business here on the continent.
No, absolutely. I agree with you 500%, because we've got, you know, you and I have had discussions before about that thing called the AFCFTA. And the AFCFTA presents different opportunities. We've got AGOA, which is expiring in 2025. It's been around for a long time. Right. It wasn't necessarily the most successful or effectively operationalized. But now we've got an opportunity from an AFCFTA to relook at AGOA, you know, in terms of being able to partner with Africa, partner with the diaspora. Under that, and especially from an agriculture perspective, what are some of the things that you are thinking about, especially in the agri sector, and how that could possibly, you know, create those beneficial partnerships?
So I'll give you a really simple example with an experience I had the other day. So I went to the grocery store, I went to the roadside vegetables. So looking at the types of vegetables that are grown in the US, the size, the color, just the aesthetic of how they're presented when people are buying them on a retail basis, to what happens here, the food spoils quicker, it's not as large, all these things. So I realized that visually, this is what people are looking at, because the understanding of what GMO is in Ghana is not the same understanding of GMO in the United States from a local perspective. So when people in Ghana want to go buy, they're not looking at which of the watermelon is biggest, which of the green peppers is in bruise, how many can I get that are actually going to be usable for my food. They want food. That's just it. It's food. It doesn't have the same type of, has a different type of value than it does in the US. So the opportunities in the agriculture space here in Ghana there's so many, from just cultivating vegetables, having education around the proper sanitation on a farm and what that looks like, growing organic vegetables. There's just starting to be an understanding of why that's important and what that looks like. Water consumption and what that looks like is also important. So the opportunities in the agriculture sector, just from an educational aspect, are there. However, from a cultural aspect that we talked about before, it's difficult to get farmers, because typically farmers are in an older generation. They're very set in their ways, or only have a small understanding of how to do things because that's the way they've been doing it for 50 or 60 years. So when things like FCFTA are launched, it's a huge initiative, right? So to whittle that down into bite-sized level that someone that's been on a farm for 50 years could understand is the challenge, but it's also the exciting part, right? Is to be able to utilize something of this nature to build generational wealth in a sector that is encompassing a large part of not just the continent, but how people around the world eat, about how we survive. So the AFCFTA isn't just something that's used for different African countries to be able to trade back and forth and to develop Africa. It, in my perspective, because I'm in agribusiness, it's more important of how we survive. The AFCFTA is a critical role in that, because now we're talking about having food on the continent come from a better source, efficiency, which means production can be higher, which then leads to job creation, which then also leads for opportunity of the AFCFTA to be able to travel, to have more money, to be able to have better products. And then that further helps develop the continent. But we have to have both understanding of how to use the AFCFTA, because you're going to have people from the West that have more experience in certain areas from a business perspective, because that's where they're expecting most of the capital to come from investment. And then we're going to have basically the labor force on the other side, on the continent, where these are going to be the farmers. They want to have higher yield. They want to do business in the United States, but the education part has to come in, and what that looks like, from how you have to, you know, harvest your vegetables, if you have to flash freeze them in order to ship them. All of these things are also business opportunities for people like me to provide that education, to provide that extra information, to be able to prepare people to utilize things like the AFCFTA to do business across the ocean.
So while you're on that point, what are the skills that you see are lacking from an agribusiness specifically, but also just in general from a trade aspect? What are some of the specific skills, knowledge gaps, whatever it may be? What are some of those that are missing that you've identified in the last, you know, you've obviously been up and down, and, you know, not just living here, you've been up and down in the last few years. So what are some of those gaps?
Right. I think number one is just customer service. So that's from the vendors that come to the farm to drop off fertilizer or to spray or whatever that is. to the retail market for the farmers or the wholesalers to be selling vegetables. Customer service is huge in the US and leads to more revenue for your business because we're all people. So people want to eat, they also want to have pleasant experiences when they're out in the public. And because of COVID, there has been a sense of, it's a sense of calm with people understanding that things are going to take longer, that processes are going to be changing more frequently. So the education for just how to deal with people from a social aspect, especially people that are not familiar with your particular environment, because there's so many, because of the year of return, there's so many African-Americans coming to Ghana with expectations, right? And then the people here are expecting African-Americans or Black Americans to act a certain way. So when we look at the customer service side, I think that's a huge skills gap that needs to be filled on how, and I don't want to keep using the word how to culturally or have cultural competence. That's important, but it's deeper than that. It's more of this is how this demographic of people want to be served. So if you want to be successful, then this is how you should adjust yourself to serve them. And because African-Americans are the target market, African-Americans are coming to Ghana with a sense of, I want to assist, I want to invest, and I also want to culturally assimilate part, but that's more from a tourism aspect. So when you come and you move and you live on the continent, especially for me that want to do business, My core business here is education. So it's education in the hemp industry, education in agribusiness, and how to deal with finances. I think that's another huge opportunity, but that happens on both sides of the Atlantic. It's just the financial understanding of how to be more efficient with your money. One thing that I did notice here is that there's not a sense of, from a financial aspect, there's not a sense or how to make more profit. And that goes back to also against the customer service part that also helps you increase your revenue. But outside of that, just knowing that if I go buy something for 4 CDs, I need to sell it for at least 7 so I can have a 1 CD for my transport and make some kind of profit margin. But here they'll buy something wholesale for 4 CDs and sell it for 4 CDs or sell it for 5 CDs. So there's not, it's just going through the continuously have busy work. So I think the understanding of money and how it's attained is also a major skills gap that needs to be honed in on here on a continent. So financial literacy, customer service, also in certain specific industries like agribusiness specifically, I think there's just more efficient ways to manage farms. I think there's a lot of people that want to do large scale farming, but 90% of the farmers here are smallholder farmers, specifically in rural areas. So that's a lot of the same problems that are from the state. I'm from the state of Georgia. There's a large rural population that are still farming. So understanding what that looks like is somewhat the same from both sides. And the youth, I think, are a huge component to that. So one of the things that I'm working on here in the future is to get youth more engaged in the agribusiness sector from a technology aspect, because that's just universal right now. It's the fourth industrial revolution. Technology, COVID has accelerated the use of technology 1,000% to everyone now having to go virtual. And so that is probably the biggest opportunity is ag tech. And getting it involved because there's such a large demographic here on the continent. So I would say it would be customer service, financial literacy, and then getting the youth involved in the agribusiness sector are some of the things that I'm working on that can be accomplished here.